What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to episode 99 of More Wrestling's podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Morrison. And man, 99 episodes in, and I do not know how I'm going to top this guest for the big episode 100. But, we're joined today by Super 32 champ, Iron Man champ, Fargo champ, three-time New York State champ, and MOW this year, PJ Duke. PJ, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I saw this morning you were in Niskayuna for the Wrestle for Charlie clinic with Elijah Diakmihalis, a clinic that helped support Charlie Martin and who was battling cancer. I saw some pictures of this morning's clinic, but how was the clinic?
It was really gone off. So we had a great turnout. A lot of young athletes coming up for a good cause, and me and Elijah had a great time, giving back, helping the youth, and it was awesome. It was just great opportunity. And obviously the guys at Journeyman helped out with that, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you do several clinics and whatnot across the state over the last year or two, with the help of KD. Same with raffling off a singlet that helped Joshua and his family as well. But what does it mean to you to be able to be a high-level high school wrestler who is giving back and also doing clinics across the state?
I think I'm just trying to do my part and, give back for the less fortunate. And I'm obviously blessed to do what I do every day and to be able to compete and be healthy. And unfortunately, a lot of young kids who can't do the same as like I'm doing. And I think it's just I just really got to do my part, and help them out.
Yeah. A lot of people say that, Penn State wrestlers are good wrestlers, but they also focus on being better people in general. And Zach, my co-host, who's not on today, but he said that you had a kid come off, or you were coming off the podium and you had a kid come up and ask for your lanyard at States, and you walked over to your bag, pulled it out and signed it. What goes through your head in a situation like that? Being a young man, having little kids treat you like a celebrity.
Yeah, so I mean it's definitely pretty surreal, and I also do remember being that little kid asking all these really good wrestlers throughout the state and the country. And when I was probably 7, 8 years old, I went to the national tournament and I was just amazed with these guys. And I remember pretty much every single one of them was super kind to me, and I thought I got to do my part when I make it there, and I got to do the same thing. So I think wrestling is just it's a special group of people, and I think teaching these young kids just to be good wrestlers but better people is really important.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, wrestling is such a small world where it's great that they have, someone like yourself to look up to. But like even someone like me that I can go to, I've gone to NHSEAs and I run into, college coaches and they just, have a conversation with you, whether it's at
Yeah,
a local
absolutely.
establishment outside the venue and, like you're one of their buddies. I mean, if you do that for maybe another sport like basketball, like a high level basketball team's coach, I mean, I don't think they're going to do that. So yeah, wrestling is definitely a special sport when it comes to relationships and whatnot.
Absolutely. I know it's pretty cool to see how, like, even the big names in wrestling, they're all humble people, and they just, so I think sometimes when we look at guys like, the Olympic champs, like Cale Sanderson and David Taylor, you think, wow, oh my gosh, it's amazing. But then you really talk to them and you realize they're just normal people like us. And it's kind of like, it's really humbling, honestly.
Yeah, definitely is. Yeah, we're just a week away or a week past you winning your third state title in Albany. And a lot of people noticed you racked up a lot of takedowns during the tournament, especially the finals. I think 13 in the finals. But looking back over your last three state tournaments, I think I counted 86 takedowns in Albany over the last 3 years. And I listened to Cale Sanderson say, he likes to see his wrestlers' personality show while they wrestle. Depending, their wrestler their styles show their personalities. And of course, the goal is to win in the match, but like he also says effort over outcome. How do you approach each match with what you want to achieve during the match?
So I'm not looking for I'm obviously I'm looking to win at all times, but I think for me performance is more important than outcome. So every match I'm going into, I'm just trying to wrestle my best, make sure the crowd's having a good time. Don't want to watch those boring matches where it's 2-1 and then it's no action. And I just try to put a show on for the crowd, and I mean mastering the craft of wrestling. And I think the best way to do that is just to go out and learn from your mistakes. And more importantly, I have more fun when I'm scoring than when I'm not. So, gotta have fun,
Oh yeah, scoring is fun, and obviously, you're going to Penn State, and a lot of the Penn State guys have fun when they wrestle, and obviously it shows because they're very offensive. So, Yeah, you're gonna fit in just fine there. I do have to bring up though, and this is actually a question from my co-host Zach. He said, "What do you say to the critics who say PJ Duke needs to get better on top? You gave up 25 escapes in the two matches, and that's just way too many." Of course, it's the
I do agree with them. I do need to get it better at top. I stink on top, so I think that's definitely a focus. But I do agree with them for sure.
we're just kidding. But yeah, so. When talking about Penn State matches, and obviously now that you're committed to Penn State, when did you know Penn State was a place that you wanted to go? And, growing up, or even I guess on the your recruiting visits and whatnot, did you attend a duel at Rec Hall or Bryce Jordan Center and kind of experience a duel?
Yeah, so I've been to a few, but the most right before I went on my official visit, probably like the season before, I went to the Iowa Penn State match in Bryce Hall, and it was insane. It was probably one of the coolest matches I've ever been to, and I've never seen such a crowd for like a wrestling event, so it was quite amazing. But I knew it was where I wanted to be once I was kind of on campus on my official visit, and I just met the team and met the coaches, and I was like, yeah, nothing's beating this. So,
Yeah, I've gone to Penn State a few times for matches. I think I watched. I mean, they wrestled Lock Haven 8 years ago maybe, and they wrestled Oklahoma State as well. And actually, it's kind of funny looking back because one of the trips that I went, Spencer Lee was on his official visit there. So yeah,
that's awesome.
it's kind of funny. But yeah, I watched them wrestle Oklahoma State and for the national duels title that year that they had it, the national duels. But yeah, it's a great environment. I've never been there for the Bryce Jordan Center duels, but they're that's it's electric, and I can't wait to go watch some New York guys coming up in the next few years.
Oh
But
yeah, you gotta make your way out there, man. It's awesome.
yeah, for sure. So plans for next year. I mean, you don't need to disclose them, I guess, but what is Menacing Valley an option, or have you talked to Kale about maybe going down to M2 to train like Zach Ryder did this year? Or have
Yeah,
you
so
not talked to him?
I definitely have a few options. I'm not exactly sure
Yeah.
the plan yet. I'm either gonna live at home where I'm at right now in Minnesink, train in Pennsylvania at Penn State, or I got the opportunity to live at the Olympic Training Center as well. So I gotta, sit down with my family, figure everything out, and figure out what's best for me. I was gonna say, I just really don't know what I'm gonna do yet. It's a really tough choice to make, but
Yeah.
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, whatever choice is going to be the better choice for you. But, with someone who's been robbed of two seasons with high school, with an injury and then COVID, we'd obviously like to see you finish off at Menacing Valley. But that's just me being biased about the watching the New York guys. But yeah. So, what advice would you give to those who didn't give what they wanted in Albany? Whether they are, in the title hunt that maybe took third or second, or maybe they're just trying to get on the podium. What advice would you give to those guys?
So I would definitely say just persevere and come through the darkness and come back even better next year. And if you're a senior, at the end of the day, wrestling's helped you, I'm sure. And after all, it's really just a game. That's the way I look at it. It's sort of just a sport that we do for fun. So if the outcome doesn't go your way, or you lose a match, a big match, you just got to look back and say, it's really just a game after all. So I think that's also what keeps me kind of relaxed about wrestling. Like, I don't really get too nervous just because I'm in the, at the end of the day, it's just a match. You lose the match, the sun's still going to rise.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's gonna rise. So, many of our top guys though, they go to New in New York, whether it's I guess it's just really it's top, even looking at the top eight in the state, and you can look through a lot of those names, say he went to Fargo, he went to Fargo, he went to Fargo, whether it was this year, this past summer, the summer before. What's your advice to to the guys that should probably get into freestyle, whether they're like I mentioned, a top dog or just an average wrestler, would you recommend kids to get into freestyle and why?
Yeah, absolutely. I think freestyle is pretty important because even if it's not your goal just to make it to the world stage and the Olympic stage, I think it still also offers different techniques and just overall mat time is mat time, and I think wrestling freestyle also improves wrestling folk style. Learn different tricks that can also help you, and also brings exposure to you if you're trying to get recruited. So you go out and do good at Fargo, you're gonna get recruited. So I think there's nothing bad coming from it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I try to tell my wrestlers the same thing, and then it's just obviously fun too. Like you can rack up Oh yeah,
16
for sure. points and your opponent can rack up 14 points, like, or I've seen some many high scoring matches, even at Fargo. So yeah, that's I wanted your opinion on that for sure.
Yeah, I
Looking
think it's
at
also,
second, oh,
I
go
was gonna
ahead.
say, I think it's also pretty cool that like just different styles, different rule sets, it really makes you think about wrestling different while you're wrestling. That was one of the problems I had originally with freestyle. I was like, I just started to overthink everything when really it's just wrestling at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's important just to be like, it's still, it's the same sport, it's just different rules. That's really it.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. So looking at Section 9, you guys had five state champs this year. Four teams that finished in the top 10 at states. Since your first state title with Menacing Valley, Section 9 has been on the top the last 3 years. What does it mean to Section 9 area to have the success you guys did this year? I mean, it's not even Menacing Valley, right? I talked about Newburgh on my last episode. I talked about Middletown, Valley Central, Washingtonville, right? I mean, you guys had a lot of
Yeah.
top guys in the state this year, and what does it mean to have the success you guys had?
It's definitely pretty cool. I mean, I grew up in Section 1, but I still knew all these the guys in Section 9 because my dad used to run the Niue teams, and I was always on those Niue teams at like those duels in Michigan and stuff. So it'd just be all the states have their own team. So I've pretty much been wrestling with guys like Cooper Murley and all these guys pretty much my whole life. So I think it's really cool just to watch us all kind of succeed and moving forward in high school. You know, we're a small section, but we're mighty.
That's right. You guys are tough. So you
Yeah.
talked about Section 1. Katie trained. He's located in Section 1. He's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Why did you follow growing up? You obviously went to a Katie's club when he started his club. Why did you follow Katie when he opened up his club?
So I think Katie's probably just one of the greatest people I've ever met. Even off the mat, he's always done what he like the what's best for me, and he sacrificed his own time to help me out pretty much whenever I need it. So I think it just kind of shows as a coach how he's willing to put everything on the line for you as an athlete. And he's one of those guys where if you show commitment, he's going to show as much commitment or even more to you. So, and I'm just every I mean every I have nothing bad to say about him. It's just it's pretty amazing what he's done and his coaching ability and everything he's done for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've
Thankful.
liked the guy. I like the guy anyways, but like when he bought me a $7 water at Fargo when I was behind him in line, I've liked him even more since. So,
Oh
shout out to KD. Shout out to
yeah,
KD.
they rob you of Fargo.
Yeah. Dippin' Dots are good though.
Yeah, they
So
are good.
talking about, I had a guest on and we talked about how your network is your net worth, right? So KD's brought a lot of great wrestlers and clinicians to the area. And how nice has it been to have that level of training and coaching in the area? And of course, being able to have the relationships, whether it's going down to Lehigh or NC State or places that you guys have been to train, Penn State, just having those kind of connections, whether it's Mike Machiavello or RBY, Zach Ray, like he's, I mean, a you have Ashnault coming to the gym a few times. How nice is it
Yeah.
to have that in the area?
I think that's really what made the difference for me and getting better at wrestling is just having access to those high level guys and getting beat up in those college rooms all the time. You know, I would never be able to get into rooms like that if it wasn't for co my coach. So I think having those him, having him as having access to all those guys is just really who's made me as a wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, for yourself, I love it, and of course, I like it as well because like there's clinics that he's bringing to the area where it's obviously helping the New York guys, whether they train at his club or not. I mean, those camps and clinics that he's putting on and has been putting on, I mean, it's great for the state, and I really appreciate him for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking
He's
about
yep.
another, so that's obviously your club. Let's talk about Menacing Valley, the program. What's so special about what Coach Gallagher and the staff are doing at Menacing Valley?
Yeah, so I think they're doing a great job running the team, and obviously they run great practices every day and stuff. And I think what makes them special is just their ability to kind of adapt, and like they're not like some of those high school coaches were like, oh, you need to do this, this, and this. That kind of almost lets you do your own thing, and I really do appreciate that. Because coming from like a guy like me, where I have club practice and stuff, if we're doing some live today, and I just tell my coach, I'm like, hey man, I got to take a leg, I got another practice. They say no problem, and that goes for everyone on the team. So I think it's pretty awesome that they kind of give you some space, even though they're still your coaches, but you know they're not over the top of you at all times. So I think it's really good for that, and I think it's also pretty awesome that they've also been coaching all these guys since they were younger, and they've been around the youth guys, so they have a great presence with our youth, and that's also I think why we're really good these past few years, is helping out those youth guys coming up, made the high school team really good, and for years to come, the future.
Yeah, you guys have a great recipe to success at Menesing Valley. And I've got to pick Coach Gallagher's head sometime because like his brother runs a really good football program at Maine Endwell in Section 4. They've won several state titles. So it's kind of cool to see like what he's doing at Menesing Valley on the wrestling mats and then what his brother has done at Maine Endwell. So yeah,
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I'm gonna have to bring Coach Gallagher on the podcast sometime. But talking about Menesing Valley, on the international level between the Macalusos, Mikey Altmer, Dak Ryder, yourself, you've all had great success. How do you guys feed off each other when it comes to the off-season success?
Yeah, I think it's definitely pretty cool to see local people around you succeeding as well, and I think it also does motivate you to see all these guys are working hard. And I think it also does help our high school team as well, seeing how if we can succeed in this area, they can as well. So I think it also pushes them a little extra. But it's definitely pretty cool to see like guys, who literally live 5 minutes away from you going out in the World Stage and meddling. So it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've had Heath Macaluso on the podcast. I've had Zach on the podcast and now yourself. But yeah, I mean, you guys are doing some great stuff. And obviously, like you said, like having the younger people in Menesing Valley program look up to you guys and say, hey, I could go wrestle in Spain. I could go wrestle in, wherever you're going, South America, Europe, like just anywhere. And it's kind of cool to see where the sport takes you. And
Yeah, absolutely.
talking about stages you're going to be wrestling on, in the future, when you get to Penn State. But what's the biggest stage you've wrestled on, so far in your high school career, whether it's Ironman, Super 32, or Fargo?
Yeah, so I would definitely say those are like, well, New York State's is up there, but I would say, honestly, I would say either Fargo or Super 32 is just crazy. I mean, they're all different in their own ways, because Ironman is just it's a smaller gym, but there's literally people everywhere, so you can barely even walk. It's a pretty cool experience, you just look over on the side of the mat and there's people everywhere. Same with Super 32, you look on the side of the mat, there's high school kids just sitting like literally right on side the edge. So that's pretty special to me, how like I'm pretty used to the noise, so I don't really hear it too much. Whereas Fargo is a huge arena where it's kind of dark, you don't really see anyone. So I think they're all special in their own ways for sure.
Yeah, I haven't been to Ironman. I went to Super 32 for I've been there a few times, and I've gone to Fargo the last 3 times. And actually, I was mat side, stood right next to KD taking pictures for New York USA Wrestling when you won your Fargo title. So
Yeah,
I've kind of experienced.
Super 32 is definitely one of my favorites. It's pretty cool how you're literally in the finals and you gotta like walk through a crowd of people to get back onto the mat to wrestle. So that's like kind of one experience I'll never forget, is warming up and then I'm just like trying to squeeze my way through to the mat,
This was actually the first year that I experienced the finals, like being there for the finals instead of watching it on Flow. But yeah, I get what you're saying because I was like 2 people away from the mat, and I was right next to the Knox's coach when he threw the Cornell shirt out to him. So I mean, I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah,
Definitely.
so talking about Penn State, I mean, you're going to be joining Zach Ryder again as teammates. How special is it to be teammates again with Zach?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely awesome. We've known each other since we were pretty much 5 and 6 years old. So it's definitely pretty awesome how far we've come, and hopefully we keep this path moving forward and succeed at college and hopefully collegiate level.
Yeah, so you both kind of have jumped weights, over the course of your high school career. Obviously he's kind of at the higher end of where he's probably going to wrestle at anyways now. But what's some advice that you would give to wrestlers that not on cutting weight? Obviously you went from, well, I guess you had the injury and we had COVID, but you've constantly kind of jumped up in weight. You bumped up and wrestled Ladarian Lockett. You've been going up weight over the last few years and haven't had really a problem adjusting. What advice would you give to the guys that might face that dilemma, who think that they can't, gain weight to be successful?
Yeah, I
That makes
definitely
sense.
think that's false. I think honestly, just each weight class is a little different. The builds are different. Everyone's styles are a little different. So I think kind of just adapting to the new ways, like as you get heavier, it's a little slower, but everyone gets a little stronger. So I think really just getting used to it, and I think it also can help in your training if you're kind of, maybe if you're wrestling a few guys a little bit heavier than you, wrestling guys some lighter than you, and then you'll get used to kind of that diversity. But I would say, like, obviously for bigger tournaments, if you want to be really competitive and win, you got to cut a little bit of weight. But I would say during the season, for me, I don't really cut too much weight, but I'm in a different boat than a lot of people. So I think really just can't be scared to compete. That's really it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Especially because I mean, some of them are gaining their weight in the off season, and I mean, like you said, you just got to go out there and effort over outcome when it comes to that. And you know, you might give up some takedowns and some losses while going up in weight, but it's probably
Yeah.
going to be better for you in the long run. So,
Yeah, for sure.
so let's talk about going to Happy Valley. I looked at a graphic today, and it highlighted about the guys that are currently in Happy Valley, whether they're competing, you know, for Mittney Line Wrestling Club or that are on the coaching staff. And there might have been like five or six of them that have their own, you know, shoe partnership. Talk about your partnership with Takedown Shop Apparel and you know, the NIL deals that you guys can get now.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, Takedown's really helped me out a lot, you know, giving me some great gear and giving me some great opportunities. Coach KD is actually the guy who introduced me to them, which I'm really thankful for. And it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's definitely awesome how kids high school kids can get sponsors and it makes some money. So it's definitely a great change for wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to Penn State, I mean, you're gonna have a ton of different, you know, I would assume so. You're gonna have a ton of different teammates that kind of have partnerships with this company and this company, and I think it's really cool to see how that's really developing. The growth of NCAA wrestling, or just
Absolutely.
individuals. Yeah. So, again, you finished your third New York State title. Where can we see you next as far as competing goes? Do you have any
Yeah,
plans?
I'll be going NHSCA this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be down there in Virginia Beach. That'll be a fun one.
That's awesome.
And definitely I'll be at the Journeyman World Classic, so, and probably World Team Trials as well.
So Takedown actually has a stand at NHSCA's, right?
Yeah, so they're also like, I think they're partners with NHSCA, the people who run it. So that'll be really cool. You know, as one of the companies that's pretty much everywhere on the everywhere there's the company I'm sponsored by. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, because I talked to Gwizdowski quite a bit, and I know he was sponsored or is sponsored by Takedown Apparel, so Takedown
Yeah.
Shop. So yeah, that's cool. Kind of changing subjects now. What's your favorite food? And we'll go with two different ones. So your post weigh-in food, and then your off-season kind of, so to speak, meal that you know you're not worried about when you're cutting weight.
Yeah, so I would say personally I'm a big Chipotle guy, so I got my bowl with get my bowl of white rice, steak, no beans. I don't like beans. You gotta get corn, you gotta get cheese, you gotta get guac, and the pica. That slaps every time. That and I would put that as just like the normal everyday food. And I would say post weigh-in food. Like, are we talking like night before weigh-in or morning of?
We can go both. I mean,
Both?
yeah,
Yeah.
I've
So,
heard some different interesting things on the podcast, so yeah, we can go both.
morning of, I don't really like to eat too much. I'll probably just get like a maybe half a bacon, egg, and cheese or a bacon, egg, and cheese if I'm feeling, I'll eat the whole thing if I'm feeling good. Or I would, night before, I go to town though. Night before, I'll get like a nice burger or something nice and heavy.
Yeah, that's actually sounds really good. Nice
Yeah.
burger from Five Guys or
Yeah, and, or any restaurant, I don't really care, but burger's definitely a go-to for me.
yeah, that's actually what I look forward to when I go to NHSCA's because they've got some really good food there, whether it's a Southern comfort kind of food or the seafood food. Like it's looking forward to that next month. But
Yeah, I got to get some seafood while I'm down there for sure. You just reminded me.
yes, you got to. Yeah, there's actually a good place. I'll have to let KD know because Jason Bryant, who announces the NCAAs in the Olympics, he
Yeah.
actually he I talked to him quite a bit, and he actually used to live near Virginia Beach, so he gave me a good location last year, and we went there, and it was really good. So I'm gonna
Yeah,
hit that
you
place
gotta
up
tell
again.
me.
I will. Yeah. So one of my last questions is, what advice would you give to a youth wrestler who, or a high school wrestler, I guess, who's wanting to achieve success just generally in the sport?
For me, I think one of pretty much the only reason why I'm so successful is one is for my parents. They've helped me so much. They've pretty much given me everything I needed to have to succeed. So I wouldn't be anywhere where I am without them. But I think really it's just being self-motivated and putting in the work. I would like I'm not a very gifted athlete. I think just putting in the athlete or putting in the work and the time is really what's helped me. Hours and hours of wrestling and working hard and just not quitting. Basically, you gotta be tough. So honestly, all I'd say is just keep your head down and keep working.
That's good advice. Yeah, I like that. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm kind of really only on Instagram right now, but I'm gonna get a Twitter pretty soon. I just haven't been on Twitter too much.
And got anything else to add?
I don't think so, man. I appreciate you having me on though.
Yeah, no doubt. Hashtag let's win.
Yes, sir. Let's win.
All right. I'll see you next month in Virginia Beach. Good luck.
All right, sounds good, man. I'll see you
All
later.
right, thanks. And that does it for episode 99 of More Wrestling's podcast with PJ Duke, a legend in the sport already. Episode 100 is coming up next. I got a few guests that might come on. I'm still figuring that out. I mean, obviously, I want to make episode 100 a special one with a special guest. Vito, Yanni, Kyle Dake, where are you guys at? I don't know. I do want to highlight the Mideast Regionals. The recap that just happened at RIT, give some love to the D3 wrestlers who are going to be competing at the D3 Nationals in a few weeks out in Wisconsin. So, yeah, thanks again for listening to episode 99 of More Wrestling's podcast. Peace out.